And this is Ethan.
And this is Whiskey and Wires, brought to you by Intuitive Networks, where we talk all things tech.
And all things whiskey.
What's up, everybody? It's Tyler. I'm here with Ethan and Adrian, and we are juiced to get started with Episode 9, Whiskey and Wires, where we're going to be talking about... What are we talking about?
Whiskey and Wires, man.
Yeah.
Today's episode is going to be talking about, at least on the IT side, physical security, specifically in the finance space.
Yep.
And how it can apply to both, you know, banks, CPAs, everything like that, but also, you know, everyone else out there. There's going to be a few nuggets for you, too.
Oh, my gosh. I'm super excited about that. But not only physical security, because that's a pretty rad topic. We are staring...
at three bottles.
Hell yeah, bro.
That's a first, I think.
That's a first step. A first step in happiness.
We're progressively, I mean, we might just do like a whole like 4-hour session and just do like a whole vertical tasting.
You know, and when we get some video stuff up in here, I mean, you're going to be able to see. We're looking at three sexy bottles of whiskey ranging from Maker's Mark, which is our Control Burn, right?
Yep.
Which I learned that one. Which Control Burn, I think they should name it something different, because that's typically do something like firefighting or wildfire, right?
Wait.
Or does Control Burn,
is that one of the new things? Like, you know, I was on a couple of episodes. Is that something you guys have been doing?
Yeah.
We talked about Control Burn or Control Taste or whatever you want to call it first with Ed, when Ed was... was the guest on these episodes when you were on your honeymoon.
Mm.
And we've pretty much done it since, whenever, especially for something like this, our pièce de résistance today.
All right, so you got to go and get it started. Pour us up, just a little bit. That's just to start it.
Little Control Burn, swish it around in the mouth, get it all lively.
Oh, here, let me do it. He's stuck behind the mic.
No. This is whiskey and wine. This is his job. This is his part of it.
This is what you do. This is the yummy part. Mm, here we go. Ooh, it, gosh, you
know,
it's just a little
bit. See, exactly. Just, you know, it's a lot harder than it looks.
Yeah. And before we get started, everybody, I poured Ethan a little bit more. Mr. Ethan just created a child.
Well,
he was a part of the process.
I was a part of the very beginning, and now that she's here in the world, I'm part of it again.
Yeah.
I would be remiss and in trouble if I claimed too much of the middle part there.
Yeah. It's like she's like, you didn't do shit. Oh, man. All right. Well, here, cheers up.
Cheers.
Congratulations. That's awesome. Yeah, both of you guys, man, in 2022 have had some life adjustments.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome.
I think so. You know? Mm-hmm. Having a kid, though, that's kind of like, that's cool. That's really cool. I don't know. We don't have a kid yet, so I mean.
No.
Life's going to change when they're here. And it'll never be the same.
Well, actually, this is kind of like our last, like, hoorah year. Yeah, gotcha. We're going to start maybe family planning next year or whatever.
Nice. We'll see. Well, you haven't even... Wait, what?
So that means...
You haven't even been married... You wouldn't even have been married a year yet.
Right.
I'm going to...
Dude, take two or three. Enjoy. Because once you have a kid...
I don't know,
it,
man.
Never goes away.
Here's the thing. If we do that, we're only having one.
What?
Because he's actually... Because I'm already going to be like 34... If I wait two more years, I'll be 36. I don't want to be like that grandpa.
And you're 60.
And kids. Like,
nah, they're the coolest.
Graduating high school.
Well,
you know?
My wife, she...
They're the coolest.
Yeah, her dad was... Her closest sibling is 18 years older than her.
Mm.
She was not an accident. She was a surprise.
Yeah. Happy accident.
But she always talks about how her dad would come pick her up from school, and they're like, hey, Katie, your grandpa's here.
Yeah, she's like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, and I can't speak to the timing too much. I was in the military. I joined when I was 18, and I did the classic military thing.
Mm.
I got married fairly soon after, like in my right after a year of being in, and then we got pregnant with our first kid when.
That's always funny when people say we. You didn't get pregnant.
No, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely accurate with that.
Well, I guess the more accurate thing to say is that you impregnated.
Yeah, that's what should be said.
I impregnated my wife 3 months later.
We're all about facts around here.
So, yeah, we had the absolute mindset of, hey, because I was 19, she was 20 when she had her first son. And we were very much of the mindset of, hey, if we do this now, while we have both military health care, which is fantastic, and, you know, when we're young, we can be child-free. but relatively. Yeah. We can have an empty house. We'll go with that by the time we're in our 40s.
40s, yeah.
And that sounded bomb.
Yeah.
And, you know, here we are 6 years later and we just had our third. And
dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun.
Right. And, you know, I'm very happy with how it is. We get a lot of, you know, there's obviously that feeling of, you know, when you're first married, you know, kind of wishing that we had that time that was just us in the yeah. marriage. But at the same time, you know, we obviously...
But you're going to get it when you're yeah, in the 40s. You're yeah. going to have 20-something years.
And we love our family. And, you know, whenever you have a kid, obviously there's some aspects of the relationship that take a side or yeah. don't necessarily go away, but definitely step down.
And then you resent them for it tremendously.
But then there's the... ignoring that, there's the huge, you know, addition of what having a kid or kids brings to the family, all yeah. the activities that you can do that if you did without the kid, you would be, you know, probably put on a list for things yeah. like that.
Oh, 100%. And I'll tell you, man, looking through the world in a kid's eyes or through a kid's eyes is a totally different world. Totally different world.
Yeah. Holidays are magical again because it's magical for them. Like there's just little things like that.
Yeah.
Really make it cool.
Pretty rad. Okay. So anyways, take your time.
Yeah. Well, maybe it also gave us like an excuse to, we just booked a vacation next year in the summer to go to France.
Ooh, sick. Where?
Yeah. It's a wine and food tour. And then sprinkling in a little bit of a Disneyland in Paris. But mainly Burgundy, okay. Bordeaux, mm-hmm. Champagne, a couple days in Paris.
Been down there when I was in the Air Force. It's fun.
Yeah.
Is it cool?
I wasn't thinking about food and wine then, though.
Yeah.
But enjoy the food and wine.
Yeah. I'm all about the croissants, man. I want the real deal. I hear it's different over there.
They're
legit.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we did. We went surfing on the coast, and that's all we ate was baguettes and jam. I used to take pictures of it. We ate so much, it became almost like the person I was traveling with.
Dude, I hear the bread over there is like... ridiculous.
Yeah. And the coffee. I didn't drink coffee, but we like had so much coffee because it was so damn good. Right. And when you hit the coast, have the mussels and frites.
Mm.
Oh, my holy hell. That's something. Yeah. Well, you know, everybody that's listening, we just converted Whiskey and Wires into a food show. So
there's always food involved in Whiskey and Wires.
It happens to everyone eventually. Our time was just young into the show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about it. After a while, you're like, all right, we talked enough tech. Let's talk about something else. Well, that is actually why we have whiskey. Which, okay, so let's get back to what whiskey are we having?
Well, right now, yeah, go ahead.
Well, you're tech guy.
I am tech guy. I'm step.
Hey, I know a little bit about tech.
Hey, dude's like, hey, come on.
I know how to turn it off and turn it back on. Which, hey, layer one. It's important.
Oh, yeah. If we're being honest, that's a large part of the job.
Well, we just have some Maker's Mark, I guess, as the control burn. But the next one, well, we should probably do the Elijah Craig first.
Yeah. Elijah Craig.
Yeah. We have Elijah Craig Rye, which I believe we did the bourbon early on.
Yep.
But we haven't done the rye yet.
Not the rye. Basically the same thing. Same aging, same barrels process, except it's around mid-50s or maybe just 51% rye instead of corn.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, how much of a difference does that make between the rye and the corn? Like,
actually, if you have them side by side, that's what we probably should have done.
Side by side to taste them? Yeah.
But it's quite different.
Scratch that episode.
Okay.
Like, this would be peppy, more pepper, more like grassy notes, green apple.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So we're going to start off with that, and then what's our second go-to?
It's a Maker's Mark Cask Strength.
Oh, Cask Strength. That's...
Yeah. Which for Maker's Mark, I mean, compared to other, like, Jim Beam Cask Strengths or, like, even, like, other Elijah... Like, the Elijah Craig Cask Strength usually is around 120 to 139 proof.
Cheech.
120 is low for them.
So but this is just straight up
one,
diesel.
Well, this one's not. I mean, their cast strength is usually a lot less improved. So, like, what's that one? 112?
Yeah, this is a...
Oh, no, I'm talking about the maker.
Oh, yeah, 112. 112. 51.1.
Yeah, so that's 56.1. Like, that's not that bad. You know.
Oh, so money.
I know. But those tend to be pretty good. I'm a big fan of the Maker's Mark cast strength.
I actually never had it, so I'm pretty juiced on it.
Every time that I get a chance to do cast strength or unfiltered, uncut, anything along those lines, I jump at the opportunity because usually, and we'll talk about it, I'm sure, usually you get like those barrel oils and things like that. That
just all really, the things.
Really coat the tongue, coat the mouth, and you're just make it a wonderful hugging experience.
Now, cheers to our, I have a question too. Since we've been doing this, do you actually, like, will have a whiskey more frequently while you're doing work? Maybe towards the end of the day, but you're working on something.
Not really. Oh, no.
No, we drink enough as it is.
Oh, okay. No, like, really no change.
I think that it hasn't really changed much, no.
No, the largest change is the fact that we have it here with the Whiskey and Wires recordings. Because usually when we drink, it's, you know, a slow Friday or something like that. Halfway through the day, we all have a small glass and just, you know, cheers and bottoms up. But
oh, shit, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that made the makers taste like doo-doo.
Well, control burn versus first sip after.
It's also a Heaven Hill product, which I have a bias for because it's my favorite distillery.
What, Elijah Craig?
Yeah. Heaven Hill.
Oh, yeah. So I was talking to someone this past weekend, actually. Correct me, I don't know if it's true. Every time you make a whiskey or bourbon, whatever, when it's distilled, it comes out clear, yeah?
Yeah, it is.
So this is all from the...
In fact, next episode, I could bring some Buffalo Trace. I think it's out some Buffalo Trace.
There you go.
White Dog is what they call it.
Yeah.
So it hasn't hit a barrel?
No, it hasn't hit a barrel, but it's entry proof. So it's slightly diluted, but it's exactly a 125, which is what they use for all of their whiskeys before it hits a barrel. So
instead of putting it into a barrel, they put it in your bottle.
It literally, to me, some people can't get past the burn, but I actually quite like it. I think it has a really good, like, butter popcorn.
Sure.
I remember the first time I drank unleaded. Yeah. Like that?
Mm-hmm.
This tastes like Alaskan Pipeline.
It's like Everclear, but more refined.
Yeah. Ay-yi-yi. Okay, so, all right, we're going to be sipping here. Let's get into the wire, because everybody, if... they're listening, or when they're listening, they're like fast forwarding, going, all right, I want to get to the wires.
They're talking about kids and shit. No,
I know. Yeah. Like, this is crazy. All right, so what the heck is physical security?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Mm. So, to a certain extent, it's exactly what it sounds like. Adrian made the joke before we came in here, so we're talking about, like, guards and stuff today, right?
Guards.
But it has a
little... I thought you said cards.
No, guards.
The whole time you guys were talking, I was like, why are you talking about cards?
No, I mean, we could be talking about, like, possible different forms of weapons to, you know, keep something secure.
That makes so
my personal much more favorite sense. Is a katana, followed by a lightsaber.
Physical
only
security.
Because it's less realistic.
Yeah. Physical security for your office.
I'm going to be honest, I do have a lightsaber in my desk just for that.
Mm. I was going to say I'll wear all my weapons, but they're in my vehicle. Guards. All right, show's over. Hire a guard.
So, physical security. Usually when you say physical security, everyone's mind jumps to something in particular, usually tied to past experiences or something. I've talked to a lot of folks. When you say physical security, they think of, you know, locking the doors before you leave if you say physical
simple
security.
Simple stuff.
Yeah, or they think about... hey, when it flooded that one time, or they say, hey, I had this one insider threat that sold our stuff, you know. But these are all just different versions of the same thing. So I figured just rounding off the list, covering very briefly each topic within it, just a good starting place for folks to start considering. Because in many ways, physical security is as important as cybersecurity.
Mm.
And it... luckily, since obviously physical security has been a thing for much longer, there's a lot of things that you can do to help with it.
But there's like different types, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So generally physical security is kind of broken up into two different groups with each have two different subgroups.
Mm-hmm.
So the first two subgroups are natural events and then other environmental disasters or...
it's like bad stuff happening or bad people trying to make stuff happen, really.
Yeah, because the second one is intentional acts of destruction or unintentional acts of destruction. So with the first group, there's natural events. This is, you know, fire and brimstone, acts of God. Mm-hmm. There's lightning strikes, power surges.
Hurricanes,
flooding, everything along those lines. That physical security is much less people proofing as, divine proofing, I guess.
Yeah, right.
It's where you do things like you back up your servers to an offsite place. You make sure that the building that you're in isn't old and decrepit and will blow over with the first gust of wind.
Mm.
It's, everything that has to do with just physically making sure that should something bad happen, because you can't prevent it.
No.
Right? It's should and when something bad happens, how covered are you?
How prepared?
Right. Yeah. And then to a slightly lesser extent, the second other environmental conditions, that's like, if you live in Arizona or Death Valley, is your building, is your server room able to keep cool enough?
Mm.
If you live in a place that has power outages as often, do you have uninterruptible power supplies or surge protectors in place to make sure that those minor things that are more common don't negatively impact you?
Well, and this can be applied to any business. I mean, heck, you could even apply it to on the personal side, right?
But yes, absolutely.
Since we're speaking business, specifically to the finance space.
Specifically to the finance space.
You got a ton of personal.
That's where the second group comes in more, because that's where you get intentional and unintentional acts of destruction.
Like people trying to steal all their stuff.
Well, that's definitely one of them. So, intentional acts of destruction. Within the finance space specifically, when we're talking just physical security, we're not talking about hackers or anything like that. A lot of the times we talk about little moles inside the company. We talk about the insider threats. We talk about the guy who has two mortgages, just got divorced, his kids hate him, he has all these bills to pay, and he really is upset with his boss. So he downloads that client list, sells it to the black web, gets a nice paycheck, and your company's going under because you just lost all your clients to some other.
Yeah, and he's just like, ha, ha, ha.
Right, right. Yeah. It's that.
I believe it's called dark web, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. Dark web.
Hey, I'm the IT expert here.
If stop looking at me, Swan.
If there's new trends going on, I should know about them, right? Yeah.
But I get it, though. He's like that guy on the movies or TV has a USB.
Yeah.
Puts it in there.
How do you stop that? Everybody's got a thumb drive on their doggone keychain now.
Well, for that...
They look like keys.
Yeah, it's nice you ask. There are ways to protect from those. For one thing, you can just, as a company and as a group, be aware that these people exist. Mm-hmm. And there's that kind of accountability from people. If you see a guy trying to put in too many passwords for a website he's not supposed to be on, that's like a admin website for the company. Or if you see these things, there's that, snitches get stitches and all that, but at a certain point in time, you got to report stuff.
You guys need that for your shirt ideas.
Snitches get stitches,
yeah.
Except in IT.
Yeah, IT will find you.
But there's ways to protect against it. You can do things like disable USB outputs. You can do things like put your client lists on a program where it can't be printed or output. You can do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also intentional acts such as arson or theft. Theft is a really big one. And something that is probably the place where a lot of folks get lax on.
Yeah.
Because when you talk about theft or anything like that or vandalism, you think of locking your door at night. You think of setting the alarms. Do you think of the computer that you bring home with you? You stop at the gas station, put it in your passenger seat, have to go inside because maybe you have a low card or your card gets declined. So you go inside to pay. When you come back out, your laptop's gone. That's something that happens.
Happened to me.
Okay. Did it really?
Well, it was over at,
Talk about shooting fish out of a barrel.
Well, no, but here's the thing, though, because I had all the security measures in place, it wasn't really a big deal.
You just said, hey, here's my stuff.
No, my backpack. Yeah. It was over at... And granted, it was like 8 o'clock at night. We're going to go play trivia over in Del Paso Heights. And it was even like underneath lights and very visible in a very visible area, but someone just did a smash and grab. Just came from the airport, got picked up, went to go play trivia, have a beer, and...
Smashed it. Oh.
In and out.
And it's funny that it's as common as it is, because when I said that, I was thinking of two of our clients. I forgot that that happened to you too.
Yeah.
So even just within our space of, you know, the folks that we know, that's happened three times within recent memory.
So with you guys being a managed service provider, like how do you do that with the physical side? Because you don't.
Yeah, that's a great question. The best thing that we can do is tell people what the correct practices are.
Like doing like an on-site audit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can do on-site audits. There's also trainings that we can do. Mm-hmm. And like with that particular thing, did you know that with most financial institutions, especially those falling under 4557, going back to that nice little IRS document. Yeah,
that's what's called a callback.
For everyone who falls under that, there are actually guidelines and rules in place for how you move things like a laptop between home and work. You're supposed to do things like put it in a trunk, make sure it's not visible. There are steps in place that most people just...
Sounds very common sense-y.
I mean...
No. You didn't have yours in your trunk, huh?
It was an SUV, so...
Asterisk. Yeah. Well, there's an asterisk there.
And here's the thing. There's a lot of common sense in this world. There's a lot of things that, oh, I should have thought about that. That's simple. Mm-hmm. But when you got 20 other things going on, you're not thinking about how visible your laptop
is. Exactly. But here's the thing, too, is that we have a technology where I was able to basically wipe the drive.
Like
the moment
button.
Someone turns it on, it's like...
Gone.
You set up like a nuke button and it just...
Yeah, and everything was already backed up. The last backup was like when I last turned my computer off, so I got a new laptop, and within 20 minutes, I was good to go.
Which is really the second part to most physical security, especially theft concerns, is you have to have a plan for how you're going to keep it from happening.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a plan for what happens when it does.
Yeah.
Because people mess up. Anytime that you run a business, there's the people factor. There's going to be Joe Bob who, is about to go have his birthday party, forgets to lock his car when he hops over to his friend's house. No matter how much training you have, there's always human 100%. Error. So having
And how do you account if your office got burglarized and everything was out in the open and they just take it?
Mm-hmm.
Like when we were at the other office, I thought that all the time. We just had one door. I mean, you go tack up all those windows, everything's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So then, really, from the MSP side, your recommendation or what you guys set up is like the remote kill switch.
Yeah, there's even stuff like we could, if a client really wants it. Where there's geolocation on the device, mm-hmm. just through the software that we have. When your computer's off, per se.
Yeah, yeah.
Your computer's not ever really, modern computers especially, it's not really just off.
Yeah.
It's usually kind of like
it's in a deep hibernation state. You
gotta call Liam Neeson.
There you go.
I will find you.
I have a very certain specific set of skills. Yeah, that's very important. But then, we've had too much whiskey already.
I lost my train of thought.
It flew in, flew away. Okay, that's what I was going to say. Then there's other things that we can do as well, because especially for financial institutions, especially for things like CPAs and tax folks and things, that maybe everyone in the company has a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe everyone in the company, especially during tax season, needs to work some extra hours and they want to do it in the comfort of their home.
Especially as remote right now. A lot of people are doing
mm-hmm.
it right now.
Especially with culture of today. And so there are things that you can do to help with that scenario. For example, a lot of folks have their computer be an empty shell which remotes into a cloud server or a virtual desktop. In that case, half of those physical security concerns
just go away.
They're gone. They're taken care of. You can take the laptop. It's going to be a few bucks out of my wallet, but it's not the company shutting down.
Yeah, it just becomes a MS Paint. You just go ahead and make some some clip art on it.
Right. And it sucks that they took your laptop, and it sucks that they have that, but they don't, have a grip on your company in that sense.
That's a good thing.
They have nothing.
So. And you guys work with institutions like a credit union, local bank, or those kind of things? Because this is where I would think it comes in, like, super important.
Yeah, we've done support for folks like that. And that's more something we can talk about on the MSP side, because a lot of things like that, a lot of places, in order for them to be up and running and have their insurances and everything like that in place, they already have to have a certain level.
Okay.
So usually when we get...
They're dialed in.
usually when we come in, it's to help shore up stuff, do hands-on work. It's much like we have very good relationships with especially things like CPA firms and stuff like that, because they can be up and running and check the boxes superficially and still need stuff. They can be they can be working for years and years and still need certain things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whereas a bank, you know,
they've got everything all dialed in because they have to be
in theory anyway.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Ready to try some of that makers. And I just thought of something. What? Push it up. There we go. A long time ago, you showed me this trick. And it's when you put some whiskey in your hand, you rub it together, and the friction changes.
Yeah.
What is that? Do that again. Because I was talking to somebody, I don't know, probably about a month or so ago.
It's kind of like a reverse distillation based on temperature. Like, for example, like the corn is something when you're making the, you know, when you're distilling or making even the distiller's beer, corn needs to be at a higher temperature opposed to like barley or like rye.
Oh, so when you get up to a certain heat, it's...
But if you reverse distill it, the thing that you're going to smell the quickest with the least amount of heat with the friction is the corn. Mm. You think it would be the higher heat, like the actual distillate. That's what we call like reverse distilling.
Oh.
And some whiskey experts, if they're trying to figure out what the mix of that whiskey is, they'll do that trick to kind of see if they can figure out, okay, well, this is definitely going to be a rye versus a whatever.
Oh, just versus off the aroma? Because I remember one, you dropped it, we did it a little bit, and then a little bit faster, and it tastes like, or it smelled like bread.
Yeah, that's the last part. That's the barley.
Okay.
Malted barley.
It made me think of that.
Like a bread dough kind of a smell.
Has he ever showed you that?
No. I feel really left out.
It's pretty sick. All right, after we'll have to do it, because we need, you guys could do it.
It's a good parlor trick, you know?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I totally remember that. I was talking to somebody about it, and I was like, yeah, if you have it at a certain heat. And actually, now that you're explaining it, I explained it all wrong, but I sounded really good. So people were like, oh, that's really badass.
Was that one of the things you did, like, at your bar?
Yeah, 100%.
After a couple drinks in?
Yeah. I'm like, you know what's really cool? Check this out. Put a little drop in your palm. And they're like, oh, it smells like whiskey. I was like, I know. Okay.
Saying the wrong thing, but sounding really cool.
Sounding really awesome.
It's all about delivery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great, great way to do a podcast.
All right. Up next, Maker's Mark cask strength, 122 proof, or is that 1122?
112.2 proof.
Holy shit! Oh, I didn't see the point. My bad. I was like, yeah, that's.
It's
SpaceX fuel.
It's 500% alcohol.
You guys are going to listen to us kill ourselves. We're going to have a live studio suicide.
There's so much alcohol in this, it hits your stomach and produces more.
He's exploding. Why won't that come off? Oh, heard that sound before.
This is getting way off topic, but...
No, we've been off topic.
It's a story of this episode.
Did you know there's actually a legitimate condition? It's very rare that a person could manufacture or make their own alcohol and get drunk off themselves.
No way. Yeah, what, are they a possum?
I've heard of that, yeah. Where it, like, ferments in their stomachs and stuff. Yeah.
Wait, what's it called?
Their stomach produces, like, a particular... Like, basically starts like fermentation.
Yeah, like...
Really?
These folks have an enzyme just naturally in their stomach that their stomachs don't kill. That when, like, I think it's, like, bread, potatoes, heavy carby stuff hits, if it doesn't digest fast enough, it actually ferments in their stomach and goes in their bloodstream and gets them drunk.
Holy smokes.
I've heard of that.
So they could just go and have, like, a calzone, and then it just sits in there, and they're like, I am so buzzed.
Like, they'd be like, what are you drunk off of? Like, ciabatta?
Sourdough and co?
Yeah.
I just had a sandwich, officer, seriously. And is that cool? I did not even know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's trippy.
It's very rare. But I mean, there's enough people. I mean, it's like 1%.
Of worldwide?
Yeah.
Oh, that is.
That sounds pretty high.
Like, even if it was like 0.5%,
maybe. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's like a reverse Captain America for my nerdy audience out there.
From all you guys, yeah. Speaking of that, nerdy on. Do you have any Ooh. Like? Yeah, are you gonna?
You know, it's bad when Adrian takes a sniff of it and recoils happen. Slightly.
In the IT space, right? In your MSP space, is there anybody like big names?
As far as
like. If you're going to go to Vegas to, you know, the White Hat Conference or whatever your big old IT security conference is there any, like, big-name people in this space, thought leaders, or maybe they own a company or something like that? Like, they're the big dogs.
So not necessarily MSPs.
Okay.
Right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I'm just more curious.
At least, like, locally over here, I mean, and I'm not even sure how much an MSP they're in now, but, like, you'll even see, like, at the Sacramento Airport. You're every now and again you'll see like an ad. There's usually one like in the TSA security area.
mm-hmm.
One was like Quest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like they do a lot of other stuff, but I think they might still have like a managed service provider component or IT support.
But there's not one. Like, are people gonna be like, oh my gosh, Adrian, he's gonna be speaking in Vegas. We gotta go see this.
Well, not for MSP providers. It's more like for example, one of the tools that we use a lot of, and you have to be licensed MSP reseller or a user of the product.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is like ConnectWise.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're even having a conference next week.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I'm going to be at a conference. It's not that one. There's two going on for IT in Orlando, but
we can look for those Orlando.
They're on
ones,
the same.
Huh?
They're on the same days. They're not on the same. Well, that's actually where we have them. It's either going to be Vegas for VeeamON. Which Veeam is a backup software.
Yep.
Really, really good.
Yep.
It just works. A little plug in there for Veeam. You're welcome.
You're not getting paid for that promotion.
Yeah, I had to.
Both eyes just ran to the back of my head and rolled back the other way.
Yeah.
It's pretty strong. Oh. It's good stuff. Can you imagine that sip without the control burn and stuff?
Holy shit. Like, no.
Yeah.
I can't imagine putting together a physical security plan or an audit for anybody right now.
And that's maybe
you should lock your doors.
Right. We were talking about big names and stuff. I feel like that's one difficulty for an MSP,
yeah.
Kind of, because you talk about big IT and everyone thinks of like, oh, Microsoft, Apple, they're IT, right? They have computers and Lenovo and all these. But an MSP's job isn't to get big in that same way.
Okay.
I guess the job of an MSP is to go to companies and say, hey, what do you need? Oh, you need these three big names to help you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pull those down. We're partners with them. Yeah, we'll give you those services.
Yeah. Well, I would even view like Microsoft and Apple and other, but they're more of a product. They build things, right? And the tech is in there, but they use other different types of tech, right?
And then when you talk about products as far as cybersecurity or just programs or mm-hmm. specialty programs for, you know, shout out to our dentists and stuff out there. There's X number of specialty providers and software providers and stuff.
See, that's the thing. We're like we're a service provider. We provide a service for companies.
Right.
I think sometimes, like especially now, people say, "Oh, you're in a tech space. You must be like, you think like, you have a Google structure, everything."
Yeah, but you guys aren't in the tech space.
No, we're not.
No,
but we get lumped in usually in conversations. Like, you guys are tech.
Oh, that's the same thing for on the marketing side. You get lumped into IT. I'm like, I don't know how to put your email together. And I said, frankly, I don't even know how it works. I know I put words and I say send and it comes back to me. We do the whole other side of it.
If it comes back to you, that means you probably didn't send it right.
See? Just prove my point. Okay. Well, anyways, now I was just wondering. I mean, I know there's also sometimes some big names, but maybe there is not. So, okay. So when it comes to that physical security, do you guys go out, and I know you mentioned like the like on-site audit, right? What are some things that, let's say, newer businesses, right? The new CPA down the hall or bookkeeper, like how do you physically keep all of their client stuff secure? Everything's secure.
It varies from client to client because individual audits and setups, there's checklists that we use and things like that, all those boring steps. But at the end of the day, every building and every setup as far as how individuals go is going to be a little bit different. So
mm-hmm.
the first thing that I always do, and I recently, probably 5 or 6 months ago, did a security audit, both physical and cyber, for one of our CPA firms.
Mm.
And so one of the first thing that I did was I had a meeting with their basically their CEO. He had been running their IT to that point until we took over, and you know.
Sheesh.
Right. Well, and that's just a little segue. That's how it goes a lot of the time.
That is true.
You got
that
a guy true. Who set up the company. He buys all the license. He sets up all the emails. He hires folks in. That's just, it falls on him unless he hires someone else, or she, pardon me, they.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, I'm talking about a gentleman, so I default to he. But he had set up everything. And so the first thing that I did was I sat in his office. I pulled up a few different checklists as well as a partner software that we use for these audits. Mm-hmm. And we sat in there. He was wanting to just fire and brimstone, get into all the nitty gritty, all the cracks and details. So I sat with him probably for about 3 hours on that first day, just going through lists. And that's not how we normally do it. Usually it's a on-site audit. We sit with them for like a half hour and we figure out what they need, get a roadmap, get it done.
Mm-hmm.
We prefer to get it all nitty gritty because that way we can have a complete picture. And by the end of 3 hours, we could have gone the rest of this year without another meeting with him because we just know everything to do with his business.
And how short, guts.
You know, he's a cool guy. So we talk with him, you know, every mm-hmm. week or so about stuff, but it just, the best thing to do when you're doing these things is just get as complete of a picture as possible. Cause mm-hmm. then you can see, hey, the door's locked. There's two entrances. Both of them have alarms, cameras, all series of locks. And it's internal to a building that also gets locked at night.
Mm-hmm.
We're good there. We can put it aside. It's secure when they're gone. And then you move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Oh, they bring their stuff home every day, but it's a VDI or a virtual desktop thing. So we're good there. Move on to the next thing. And mm-hmm. it's just checking all the things that you wouldn't normally think about.
So that, while you're talking, I'm thinking theft, right? So burglar. Somebody comes yep. in, they ransack or whatever. And I keep thinking as we're talking physical security, like, let's say the Paradise Fire.
Sure.
No one saw that coming.
Right.
And I got to imagine there's so much data, hard, whatever, that is gone.
If folks had a good setup,
mm-hmm.
there should have been no data gone.
Physical hardware melted, but no data
should, is as long as those companies were set up, you know, correctly is a little bit tongue in cheek, but as long as the proper physical security measures were taken,
mm-hmm.
no one should have lost anything on the data side. Mm-hmm. Should have.
I mean, yeah, the situation is still inconvenient that you'd have to buy,
sure.
get new hardware, you know, but it could have been a lot worse. I mean, your toughest part is this replacing the physical hardware.
Yep.
And
that's a couple grand in hardware.
Yeah. And internally, in our company, we have two sayings, trust but verify, and you're only as good as your last backup.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
Very true.
Yeah, very true. It's as, especially for places like, I guess, the Paradise area and here in Northern California where, you know, wildfires are prevalent, mm-hmm. there's earthquakes, there's, you know, things like that. Having off-site backups or cloud backups or anything where you don't just have all your data in one place where right. if something happens, it's all up in flames, it's essential.
It's terrible. Don't do that. That makes sense. And I think that's cool because usually when people come to you, they're looking for the cyber side.
Yeah.
This isn't working. Please help me find this. I know. That's got some stank on it.
But at the same time,
I was way too confident.
Did you just kill the rest?
I
big old goal.
I got confident.
Mm.
It was good.
He's getting excited over here.
And that's one thing we've talked about a little bit with security in the past. When we get involved with someone, especially as an MSP, when we're taking over managed services, we are in bed with that company. We are, in a lot of ways, responsible for what happens to them from mm-hmm. a cyber side. And if we don't do our due diligence on the physical security side too, then, you know, that just opens up all manner of bad things on the other side. So we do take a personal care and personal interest in the physical security side too.
That's like 50% of the whole equation. You just can't just leave it out.
Yeah.
Ooh, that had like black cherry notes to it.
I can feel it like behind my eyeballs.
Yeah. That's a good one. Well, great place to stop. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I learned a couple new things, especially 112 proof. But You guys got to call them if you need an assessment, need an audit.
Yeah.
Get a hold of I&I.
Honestly, it's the best thing that you can hear is that, yeah, you're good, and then you can sleep a little bit better at night. 98% of the time, there's something. Yeah. That's just the nature of the beast. When you're running a business, even if you have an IT team, the same guy's looking at the same thing over and over and over again. It doesn't hurt at all to get an extra set of eyes on it.
Sure.
And odds are there will be something that comes up.
Yep. So yep. And that's prudent. That's good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. We will see you at the next Whiskey & Myers.